Welcome to episode 95 of the Rugby League Republic podcast with your host Tish and Dr. T. In this episode, we review State of Origin Game 3. Join us as we build a rugby league community for all. The Rugby League Republic podcast starts right now. All right, welcome to episode 95 of the Rugby League Republic podcast, where our aim is to build an online rugby league community for everybody. Each week, we bring you the everyday fan's perspective on the biggest news and issues in the world of rugby league, and we will break it all down for you in our own unique way. I'm your co-host, Dr. T, and joining me, Tish, after an epic State of Origin Game 3 of the 2018 series is Tish. Tish, how are you going?
Dr. T, I could be doing better. You're getting. I think you're gonna get some raw emotions tonight. a great game. Honestly, it was a great game. It was once again a great story. Disappointing that the Blues whitewash wasn't accomplished. I think Ray Warren during the commentary, and I haven't actually looked this up yet, whether he was accurate or not. Maybe the Blues whitewash isn't what we want, because every time we've done one, I think Queensland end up winning the next year's series anyway. So perhaps potentially a good result in hindsight for us, but
statistically, but not emotionally.
Yeah, but look, I'm absolutely happy for Cameron Smith and his the wonderful tribute they did for him before the game. Yeah, very happy for Billy Slater. Lees is a champion. Bit disappointed that there was no epic celebration for Cooper Cronk or Jonathan Thurston or anybody else that's also retiring.
Yeah, funny that.
Yeah.
What about Cam Smith?
But he's a great player. He does need a great send-off, but I also feel there were so many other great players for Queensland. And I think it should have been, end of an era rather than end of a player type of celebration. But that's kind of like talking like the Chiefs, kind of like the sides of the whole contest. But I think, look, the actual State of Origin match, it's great to see. It was a great game, but I think it was a great game for like 60 minutes. I thought it was a great game, but then you saw both teams absolutely tire, and then it was still a great game because you just saw something that we probably don't see a lot in the modern game. It's when two teams have been battling out and both teams are tired and looking for just a way to survive the final 20 minutes. And New South Wales had a lot more ball, and it looked like they had opportunities to sort of score that winning try, but they just didn't look like they had enough energy towards the back end of the game to try and score it out. But look, overall, Queensland, they played really well, and there's lots of little things to talk on. I'm sure, no doubt. So, how about your initial thoughts of the game, Dr. T? What's your summary of how everything went down for you?
Well, surprisingly, it's quite difficult to put into words what I feel is a way to summarize this match. Yes. But let me put it this way: as strange as it was to have the Cam Smith love fest at the beginning of the broadcast, compared to the fact you're right, there are other players that retired as well that didn't even get a look in. I guess one way to put it is the Lord of the referees, Cam Smith, managed to get his minions, the other referees, to do his bidding throughout the match, because it was one of the most one-sided refereeing performances I've ever seen. And it really kind of spoiled the match, I think, because, look, as great as a commentator sort of went on about how epic it was as a State of Origin game, and it was. If you take away you know, the very one-sided refereeing performances and decisions that were made, you do sort of think that, you can't fault the players. I mean, the players put in it was the effort. They just it was such an epic game in terms of the momentum changes, and you know, the first half was absolutely all Queensland. Continually had possession of the ball. The Blues had an unbelievable defense to stop pretty much every single try. The only try that was scored by Queensland at the beginning of the game was an intercept by Valentine Holmes, which was then reciprocated towards the end of the second half by Tommy Trbojevic, which made it kind of even. And then at the end, after you know, what seemed like 20 minutes or so of being camped in their own half, the Blues, through Damien Cook, darting from dummy half, splitting them up the middle, a penalty here and there, and all of a sudden, a try under the post to Tedesco.
Yeah.
And then we're in front. So,
crazy.
It's a crazy first half. And as a Blues fan, I was ecstatic, thinking, yes, finally, we got in the lead, and we're playing the way Queensland used to play, which is to say that they repel all of the newcomers, the New South Wales new oncoming attack, and then somehow managed to still be on top on the scoreboard at the end of the first half. It was a typical kind of Queensland performance by the Blues. And then the second half happened, and we didn't score a point.
Mm.
And it was all Queensland, but in the end they won the second half 10-0. It was an 18-12 scoreline overall. New South Wales probably would have been entitled – the fans definitely would have felt entitled to – seen at least one more try from the Blues, but I think a combination of fatigue and kind of lack of imagination by the Blues, which is something that Freddie needs to look at going forward, and to be honest some stupid penalties that didn't need to occur. Tariq Sims, we can talk about that one as well. David Clemmer and a few others. Crichton pushing a few passes that he didn't need to and getting in the way. A few stupid things that really a professional side, Queensland would not have done that in the past, and they didn't. And they got it together But I am going to focus on the referees today, because I think it was disgraceful, to be honest. There were examples of Ado Carr's sideline fiasco where he was deemed to have stepped on the line where he was nowhere near it. In fact, the touch judge lifted the flag before Ado Carr even crossed the sideline. Mm. It almost like trying to preempt the fact that he thought that it was going out. Even though he wasn't even out. Neither him nor the ball were out. So I don't know where you get that. And then that sort of shifted the momentum. And then following that, the Maroons scored a try. So, you can't really – for people who are saying, the Blues are just so – and us in particular, we're just salty about the loss. not really. It was a dead rubber. So, in the end, we still won the series. But to me, it speaks more about the quality of the referees and the integrity of the game. I mean, if we continually have to talk about one-sided refereeing performances at origin level, it kind of really makes it difficult for the record numbers of people that watch these games to back up and watch it again next time. There's so many people would have watched that and said, that's it, I'm done with NRL football. I'm done with the rugby league. And you hear that quite a lot, and it's kind of disappointing. And I'm hoping that that's not the case for people out there, for our listeners. But, so there was that. There was the Tariq Sims thing, of course, bit of a brain explosion. But equally, Queensland could have been penalised. Ben Hunt was all over him. He even was out of not square of the marker. Yeah. He pulled him down as he got to marker. So there were three things that Ben Hunt did that would have normally got Queensland penalised, and in the end Tariq Sims, for retaliating, is the one that gets penalised. So that is an example of the bias kind of refereeing. And finally, in summary, I know we're going to delve into a bit deeper, but in summary, just when I thought I was being a bit crazy with my one-sided refereeing kind of conspiracy theory, they announce the man of the series.
Cameron Smith.
No. Oh. No. Well, did you see it? The Wally Lewis Medal is what they call it, the player of the series.
Okay.
Did you see who won the award?
No, I did not. Don't tell me.
Right, okay.
Don't tell me it was a Queenslander. Can't be.
I'm going to give you – well, this is really – well, you know, this is fascinating that you didn't see it because our listeners would have seen it and would know exactly what I'm thinking. But I want to give you three guesses. Which player do you think they gave the award to?
Okay, well, look, for me, the person that deserves it, because he was man of matching in game one and he had some really solid game twos and threes, is James Tedesco. Was it James Tedesco?
No. Yeah, okay. That's one. You got two more chances.
All right. Well, look, the second candidate has to be, you know, a guy who's winning his first series. He's kind of been the elder statesman in New South Wales, steering the ship. And, you know, he's made some errors, but he's been the factor that's actually probably caused us our victories. I'm going to say James Maloney.
No. Incorrect. You got one more chance.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, well, the thing is, out on the wing, it's very hard to try and win man of the match. But if you look at this player, he actually made no mistakes whatsoever. He scored a couple of tries. Plus, his defense in game two and some of his defense in game three when New South Wales was down on player has been fantastic. I think it's got to be Tommy Trbojevic.
No.
No.
Tish, okay. I hope. Right. Are you ready for this? So you got your cup of tea and are you sitting down?
Okay, I'm
sitting down. Because they gave the award to Billy Slater.
What?
Who didn't even play game one. So fancy giving a player of the series award to a player who only played two out of the three games, one of which was a dead rubber. I mean, and actually didn't win a live game.
Wow.
You know, when you look at it that way, you kind of think, you know, that is kind of unbelievable. And that, to me, typified the kind of biased kind of – it was all about the narrative, you know, the Cam Smith, the story. It was about Billy Slater's last game. You know, they celebrated as if they had won the series. In any case, I don't even think he was the best player either in game two or game three.
Yep.
Nor was he consistently, you know, in the top five, I would say, of either games. I would say the best player of game three was probably Daly Cherry Evans. He actually was, you know, all over the place for Queensland. He was all over the – he was – I think they showed a statistic at halftime. He had had the most metres and second was Nathan Cleary. I think it was as at halftime, you know, running already 3-point-something kilometres. You know, he was all over the place. He did well to get them those repeat sets, and they just couldn't crack the blue wall of defence. And I think he probably deserved it more than anything. I think he was all over the place and ended up scoring a try to cap it off. So were they going to give it to Daly Cherry Evans? No, of course not, at least the man of the match. But for Billy Slater to get man of the series, I think is a disgrace. You know, and it just adds on top of that to the refereeing conspiracy that I'm talking about. But I'll shut up now because Tish, I want you to see if you want to unpack what I've just said, or if you want to give a different spin on it.
Okay, well, I'm actually going back to game two because that Billy Slater thing is a bit of a shock. I actually can't believe that because I'm actually just trying to compare him with James Tedesco. From a stats point of view, and I actually remember, you know, some of the newspapers after game two go back and actually do a bit of a player ranking, and I'm pretty sure that Tedesco actually outbeat him for game two, like in terms of like, you know, he was ranked higher, you know, like a 10, and you know Billy Slater might have been a 9, like it was close, but I think they sort of gave it to James Tedesco. And now in game three, to be honest, if you sort of compare fullback to fullback, you know, I think they both made equal amount of contributions. I don't necessarily remember a particular thing that Billy Slater did in this game that was like...
Well, he almost scored the first try, and yeah. It was disallowed, if you remember, because of a slight knock-on.
Yeah, versus a try that James Tedesco scored. He also caused a try with an intercept as well, so maybe that sort of rules it out as well. But I think it's pretty even, Steven, between the two. So it's also called a Wally Lewis Medal. So maybe that means that no New South Wales player is ever allowed to win that. So maybe that's what the man of the match situation is. But look, in terms of the refereeing, the refereeing was 8-3. So, you know, only 3 penalties to New South Wales and a massive 8. So it's lopsided. So that kind of tells you there's a bit of smoke around. If you think about the way the game worked, New South Wales and Queensland, they sort of both sort of got off to a bit of a start. There was a couple of errors from New South Wales, but suddenly there was so much possession to Queensland. They were getting all the penalties. They were, New South Wales were making mistakes getting out of their own line. There was back-to-back sets. I think there was one time where it was like, New South Wales had double the amount of tackles than what Queensland had. I think with about 10 minutes to go from the first half, there was, I think the possession was something like 79% Queensland. So it was,
that's right. That's about right.
Yeah, around about that, and it was massive. And then just with about 10 minutes to go, there is the controversial Maloney sin bin because, I understand the rule and I understand the professional foul, but if you actually watch the footage, he didn't move. He actually stopped and then tried to go for the ball. So I don't think he ran him off the ball. I think that was really harsh. Sin binning. So then obviously that also compounds to New South Wales' problems and issues. But look, I still kind of felt that, the referees, I couldn't really, there weren't too many decisions I could sort of say, hey, you know what, that's completely wrong, as you said with the Josh Adokar situation. And the game kept on going. In the second half, New South Wales started off great with some back-to-back sets. And I think it was kind of New South Wales' fault. They let Queensland off the hook a little bit with some of their last tackle options, and they needed to put back-to-back repeat sets. They were in the lead. I think they just needed to apply a lot more pressure to Queensland. I think Queensland would have cracked because I think that there's a lot more questions that New South Wales has the potential to ask in their attack, but they weren't asking enough of the defence, and they weren't really trying to control the ball. So possession went to Queensland, but once Queensland had the possession, you did start to see the possession go Queensland's way. You started to see more penalties go Queensland's way. But I still didn't think much of it until right at the end when New South Wales actually got a penalty trying to take the ball out of their line. And it was a penalty for it was actually an offside penalty. So this is way after the Sims incident, way after a couple of other the Clemmer trip. No, I think it was before the Clemmer trip, actually. And New South Wales got a penalty for offside. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know what? An offside penalty, you could call that any time of the game. Do you know what I mean? And I do need to do a bit of research and go back and look at this game and look at all the penalties that Queensland have got and see how many of them were for offside or holding down and just these sort of cheap, silly little, either way penalties, and how many Queensland have got, because I have a feeling that there's at least two or three there that probably could have gone New South Wales' way as well. And, Queensland, were they offside for, like, that was the only offside penalty that New South Wales got. Are you saying that every single set and every other play, Queensland were onside? Like, that's what it's sort of suggesting, because, it felt like as soon as New South Wales were holding down just for a split second more, or they were offside a little bit, they were really harsh on blowing penalties towards New South Wales' way, and I think that did hurt New South Wales. I mean, that's probably part of the reason why they look so tired towards the end. The Clemmer trip, I don't know about that as well. Like, it was kind of, I mean, I felt that Ben Hunt milked it a little bit as well. It wasn't a devastating trip. If it was a devastating trip, he would have been sent off, right? Because a trip is usually a send-off offence. So I don't know how bad it really was. And I don't know if it interfered with the attack as well. So, yeah, I think a little harsh there as well. So, you know, just because a player falls over in the defense and there's a foot near him doesn't necessarily mean it's a trip. And, you know, there was another incident as well. Like, I think they ruled a forward pass or a knock-on or something. And, you know, Tedesco had the ball. If you put the ball down, and I think they should have just let him put the ball down and then use the video referee to see what actually happened. Because I think that there's, you know, such a important, crucial game, these State of Origin games. And I think that you said that the referees kind of, they just, yeah, that I would agree. Look, it's hard to say whether, I mean, obviously, there needs to be an investigation, Jeff Toovey, like, into what actually happened with the referees, because I feel that it was very, very lopsided. I liked what they did in Game 1. In Game 1, they put the whistle in their pocket and they let the two teams play, and you saw a great quality game of football, and, you know, there was no question about the refereeing for Game 1. You know, Game 2, there was quite a lot of penalties in that Game 2, and there was more controversy. So it seems like the more penalties you give, the more controversies you get. I suppose we won 1 and Queensland won 1, so that's all you could say about that. But I don't want to take away from Queensland as well. I thought they did play really well. I thought they had their best game of the series. You're right. I think Daly Cherry-Evans was definitely man of the match. I think he definitely cements himself as halfback for Queensland moving forward. Seemed like he had complete control of the team. His kicking game was, I think, far, far superior to what Maloney and Cleary had. And I think that, you know, Queensland were a real force behind him. And I think we talked about this on our preview show, the fact that both DCE and Ben Hunt are, oh, sorry, not Ben Hunt, and Cameron Munster are sort of off-the-cuff type of players. You know, Queensland's game plan of attack becomes very simple. You know, their forwards get some dominance. They get a couple of second-phase plays and offloads. And then their backline sort of plays off the cuff. They sort of play, you know, there was lots of movements from left to right and right to left. That's the type of game that suits Daly Cherry-Evans and Cameron Munster. And they played to that and they did well. And I think that that's great. You know, I thought about this at halftime. I think Ben Hunt came on when James Maloney got sin-binned. And that was the period where New South Wales scored 2 tries. And I thought, oh, there's something about Ben Hunt, isn't there, when he's on the field? Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if anybody saw that as well. But, yeah, but that was kind of funny that way. So, and I think Ben Hunt had a great game as well. But I think he's kind of, if DCE is going to be the halfback, I think Ben Hunt's going to be that utility. And where does Michael Morgan come into it when he's sort of fit and healthy as well? So they do have a couple of options moving forward, Queensland. And I think New South Wales, maybe this is a loss we probably had to have so that we regroup again next year and think about, you know, how do we actually play better rather than some blindfold drills. But anyway.
Not that again. Look, yeah. I think Freddie was onto something, because I think the blindfold was on the referees today. maybe that's what the referees are doing, because they couldn't see what was in front of them. And look, you know, I mentioned a couple of the incidents. There were other ones as well. Yeah. And often it is about, like you said, that if he had let Tedesco, you know, score the try, he could have gone to the bunker and said, you know, let's have a look. I'm going to say no try based on this, but just double check this. But he was so confident that it was a forward pass or there was a knock on. I must admit, on the replay, I looked at it and I thought, no, not really. But again, I wasn't close to the line he would have been. Then again, there were other incidents, like, you know, Maguire at one point, a very blatant forward pass, completely missed by everyone, including the commentators. And I just sat there going, what on earth is happening here? And yet not long later, or perhaps a bit later, you know, Maloney does a line ball and the crowd goes in up in arms, going, ooh, you know, like as if they deserved a forward pass there, a scrum there. you know, again, it's things like that that sort of show you that in this kind of pressure cooker environment of Suncorp Stadium with 50,000 Queenslanders baying for blood, it is all about the pressure. It is all about the noise. It is all about the home ground advantage. And you know, referees are human. They can be swayed as much as anyone. Yeah. And I think that's probably what is happening. What I can't explain, though, is Billy Slater winning the Wally Lewis medal. Yeah. That, to me, is just bias 101. And I can't really stand for that. I think it's not fair. I think a lot of fans would be pretty disappointed with that after a great Origin series. You know, the real story should be about New South Wales, you know, winning a series against the odds, a lot of debutants, new coach, new era, new everything, you know, new page, new chapter. But somehow they made it all about Queensland today. Camps, even Queenslanders that aren't playing, they made it all about them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that to me is disappointing. And I think, if anything, the NRL has to learn that you have to be ready from game two to present the trophy to the winning side, and you shouldn't do it. You know, if possible, you should do it at their home ground and present it to them immediately if they're at their home ground.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, it's a no-brainer. So, my final thought on that. I mean, I've got so many thoughts, but over time, I think they'll come out. But I thought, a good quality game. I think marred a little bit by some pretty.
All right, Dr. T. That's enough of your rant there. Maybe we should do it a little bit.
I've been talking too much. All right, look, those are my final thoughts. Over to you, Tish. What are your final thoughts on the series?
All right, just before my final thoughts, there was another thing that sort of kind of annoyed me in the game, and you talk about referee conspiracy. I'd like to say I want to propose the Channel 9 conspiracy because, you know, for some reason Brad Fittler was obligated as the coach to have a microphone in his coach's box, and, you know, they were regularly interviewing him during the game. Now, the thing is, the same effort wasn't afforded to, you know, his counterpart in Kevin Walters. And, you know, some of our strategy, some of our tactics, you know, Queensland can just hear them watching the television. And I thought that was completely ridiculous that they had a coach mic'd up like that. And just some of the questions. Oh, when are you going to put Peachy on? Or when are you going to do that? Look, that's all strategic stuff that really we shouldn't be giving away on the broadcast. What are your thoughts about that?
Yes and no. I mean, who's to say that he's not just saying something for the cameras and then actually saying doing something else differently? We don't know how real that is, but by the same token, that's consistent with sort of Freddie's open media policy.
Okay.
Right. You know, which is fine. I mean, he's sort of. Look, and to be honest, do you think the Blues were defeated by tactical decisions or other things today? Because I think...
I saw Tommy Trevoy in the clear, then Darren Lockyer was trying to get an interview off him while he still had the ball in his hand.
Oh, well, that's Darren Lockyer just being... you know, he was always ahead of the curve. he's always the first one there. That's Darren Lockyer.
Look, final thoughts, I thought... Look, 2018, it's a landmark... season. It's been a crazy season in the NRL, and it's been a crazy season in Origin. But look, what it is, it's the new generation. It's State of Origin moving forward. We can't move the game forward if all we're talking about is nostalgia. Nostalgia is great for the Hall of Fame nights, for the you know, for the awards nights. But for State of Origin, I think the presentation should be focused on who's actually playing the game. And some of the stars that have been created out of State of Origin. And I think that's the great thing. You know, like, you know, all the great players have had their moment, their time in the sun sort of thing. And I think once they've decided to hang out the boots, it's good to remember them. But I think moving forward, we need to sort of shine a light on the new players. And I think that a lot of the new players showed there's plenty of reason to actually shine a light on them. And I just hope that the presentation of State of Origin... focuses more on the current crop of players because it's time for their legacy to shine. And I think that that's probably the most disappointed that I am out of sort of the whole State of Origin series. I think the players did a tremendous job, but I think maybe just the way it was presented this year, as well as some of the refereeing, I think that that should definitely improve. And let's hope 2019 is bigger and better.
Absolutely. All right, shall we move on to the tips for round 18, the NRL?
Let's get on to the tips.
All right, so as we mentioned in the last episode, we did not go well last time around. I got 1 out of 4, and so did you. So that moves me to 67 and you to 72. In comparison to how others are doing, very poor, I would say. So we've got a few weeks to catch up. So absolutely. Let's see how we go. Round 18, so the matches, it's full round now. So back to normal, and now it's the run into the semis. So Panthers versus Sharks. I'm tipping the Panthers.
Yeah, I'm tipping the Panthers for this one as well.
Knights versus Eels. Well, despite my better judgment, I have to go for the Eels.
Oh, okay. Look, I'm going to tip the Knights, but I think the Eels will give the Knights a bit of a run for their money, though.
All right, Bulldogs, Rabbitohs. Rabbitohs in an easy one, I would say.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I think the Rabbitohs are absolutely on fire. Bulldogs are not.
Daly Cherry Evans to star in the Sea Eagles defeating the Storm. What do you think?
Ooh, look, the Storm having a great victory over the minor premiers at the moment. So I think the Storm are good for against the Sea Eagles at Lottoland.
All right, Raiders versus Cowboys. I'm going for the Raiders.
Well, the Raiders played well last week, except for Ricky thinking that they did not play well. But look, I'm going to tip the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are due for a win, so look for them to shock the Raiders at GIO Stadium.
Speaking of shock, after what we've seen the last couple of weeks, I'm going to tip the Warriors to defeat the Broncos.
Wow. Look, I am going to go with the Broncos on this one. I think they've got, I just think the Broncos are doing well, going to solidify their spot in the top eight.
Dragons versus Tigers. I'm tipping the Dragons.
Oh, okay. Look, you know, the Tigers, we need to win. It's a must-win game. We've got to win every game now if we're going to make it. So the Tigers are mine. It's a must-win game for us. So let's bring it home, boys.
Titans versus Roosters. I'm tipping the Roosters.
Well, even though the Titans played terrible last week, I feel that they're on again, off again team. So I'm going to go for probably a crazy upset here, but I'm going to tip the Titans.
Yeah, you're right. It is a crazy upset. We'll see how we go.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Those are the 8 matches for round 18. And that wraps up the podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed hearing our very raw and emotional thoughts about State of Origin Game 3. We are taping this right after the game. So as you can probably hear, my voice is pretty hoarse from screaming the house down, screaming the TV down, watching Game 3. A very exciting game. Despite the fact that the referees disappointed me and the Blues a little bit too. But look, a good series victory, 2-1, is better than no series victory, as we've been used to lately for the last decade. So we'll take that win anyway, regardless if it's 2-1 or 3-0. And, look, hope you guys all enjoyed it. And we look forward to, you joining us as we continue along the NRL journey towards the run home to the finals, which is happening very soon, a few months, so a couple of months away. So, Tish, over to you to wrap this up.
Well, thank you, Dr. T. And look, I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode of the Rugby League Republic. State of Origin 2018, it's in the can, it's over and done with. The run home to the finals and the finals yet to come. But unfortunately, that's all for this episode of the Rugby League Republic. We're your hosts, Tish and Dr. T. Join us next time on the Rugby League Republic. Bye for now.